The Ewan's Guide Access Survey, supported by Motability Operations Limited. Restrictions are lifting, but not for everyone. Conversations daily seem to touch on various aspects of returning to normal following the lifting of the lockdown restrictions. The 2021 Ewan's Guide Access Survey takes a closer look at how disabled access has changed as a result of the pandemic. We asked how disabled people are feeling about going out and about again, what concerns they have, and what the positives might be to come out of this tumultuous period of change. Ewan's Guide is the award-winning disabled access charity. The survey is in its seventh year and is designed to provide insight into everyday disabled access, including visiting shops and restaurants, visitor attractions, and cultural events. This year's survey gathered the views of over 2,400 disabled people and their families, friends, carers, and health and social care professionals, making it the largest survey of its kind in the United Kingdom. It is perhaps unsurprising that the vast majority of respondents, 59%, believe that COVID has made disabled access worse, with only 8% of respondents venturing that access is better. The clear picture emerging from the data is one where changes made to try to mitigate against COVID risks were often made at the expense of accessibility. Examples given include accessible parking bays removed, accessible toilets locked, layouts and queuing systems imposed with little or no thought given to the needs of disabled users. The reality for some disabled people is that lockdown still feels very much in place. Isolation, invisibility, abandonment, and forgotten. These are the words we frequently hear, a user said. Jenny Miller, Chief Executive of PAMIS, supports those with profound and multiple learning disabilities. She explained what's happened in lockdown and said, "The community we support was held in lockdown far longer than any other part of the population. They saw services withdrawn overnight, day services remained closed, or are offering a fraction of what the person had before COVID. Some families are now having to consider residential care for their loved one because they just can't cope anymore." As we said, isolation, invisibility, abandonment, and forgotten. These are the words we frequently hear. There are, however, some positives to take from the results of the survey. Remote working and studying opportunities are greater than ever. Home shopping is slicker than ever. Prescriptions are widely available as a home delivery. And the world of online culture is stronger and more vivid than ever. As we re-emerge from this muddled state of play, we now all have lived experience of what it feels to have restrictions imposed upon us, to feel uncertainty around trips, facilities, and even transport options. The hope for the future has to be that having felt that loss of autonomy, greater thought and focus can now be given to improving accessibility for all. 2,455 people took part in the survey. 8% of the survey's participants said that they thought access is better. 59% of the survey's participants believe that COVID has made disabled access worse. Commentary. Paul Ralph from Ewan's Guide commented on the survey results by saying, "Whilst much of this survey talks about life with COVID restrictions, many disabled people saw these as precautions or protections. As these restrictions are reduced or removed, we find that once again, disabled people are having to remap their landscape, relearn what's possible, and face the challenges of discovering something new. For many people, the times that we live in now involve balancing risks, taking precautions, and yet trying to be part of their communities. Threaded through the results is an intense nervousness on the part of disabled people, and we understand this nervousness and anxiety, and it will remain for a long time to come. It's all fine now, and we can come back out to play. Paul J. Ralph, FRSA, Access and Inclusion Director, Ewan's Guide. Ross Calladine, Head of Business Support at the National Tourism Agency Visit England, said, "It is key for tourism businesses to see accessibility as part of the solution as they rebuild their business. Detailed and accurate information, disability-aware staff, and accessible facilities and services will all help to drive footfall and, in turn, revenue, now and into the future. Businesses and attractions have worked flat out to welcome customers back, adapting and innovating to meet new ways of working, and still providing a great visitor experience. As the industry builds back and continues on its road to recovery, we also have a valuable opportunity to improve accessibility for disabled people." Ross Calladine, Head of Business Support at the National Tourism Agency, Visit England, and was appointed by the United Kingdom Government as the Disability and Access Ambassador for Tourism in January 2022. Dr. Elizabeth Ferris, founder and chairperson of the Dundee Dragon Wheelchair Sports Club and a junior doctor, said, "It seems like access regulations have been thrown to the wind in the name of expediency and revenue due to the pandemic. Previously, shops, restaurants, and entertainment venues in general tried to do the right thing when it came to access. They didn't always get it right, but by and large, they were at least trying. The pandemic has changed all that. It's tougher than ever to make a pound, so if cutting corners on accessibility is a casualty, then so be it. That's how it feels from a wheelchair user's point of view. The worst impact is feeling like we don't matter. We're just a nice extra to help only when the circumstances are right, rather than being equal." Dr. Elizabeth Ferris, BEM, full-time wheelchair user as a result of a spinal cord injury, founder and chairperson of the Dundee Dragon Wheelchair Sports Club, and a junior doctor in NHS Tayside. Jenny Miller, Chief Executive Officer of PAMIS, Promoting a More Inclusive Society, said, "For the group of people we support with profound learning and multiple disabilities, access has certainly been worse since COVID. While the rest of the population was able to go back to some form of normal living, we found our community was still locked away." Jenny Miller, Chief Executive Officer, PAMIS, member of the Scottish Government Leadership Group for Policy for People with a Learning Disability, co-chair of the United Kingdom Changing Places Toilet Consortium, and an RSA fellow. Mick Scarlett, broadcaster and journalist, said, "We spend our lives facing choices that are lessened and limited by external forces and having to live with this. with the whole of our society suddenly facing the same lack of choice, I saw it as a learning experience for all. Sadly, this is not what has happened. Instead, disabled people have seen their lives lessened. How often have you heard? Most of the people who died had underlying health conditions, as if that was okay. Elements of access that were in place have been removed in the name of social distancing. We have become acceptable losses at every turn. Coming out of COVID, we are going to have to refight so many battles we thought we had already won. Mick Scarlett, broadcaster and journalist. Post-lockdown concerns remain. The survey reveals real concerns around social distancing post-lockdown, 75%. And people no longer wearing masks, 68%. It's easy to see why when you consider how many people within the disabled community have underlying health conditions. The UN's Guide Access Survey is the largest of its kind in the United Kingdom, and in this sample, 63% of respondents reported being on the government list of vulnerable people, with a further 23% saying they are living with someone who is shielding or shielding themselves. One respondent summed up their nervousness going out. People don't respect personal space when you're in a wheelchair. And even with COVID, people lean over me in my chair or stand right next to me. Another commented, I've been clambered over multiple times in theatres by non-mask wearers. The results highlight that while the relaxing of measures is likely to be met with a huge cheer by some, it is not a return to normality for everyone. People don't respect personal space when you're in a wheelchair, and even with COVID, people lean over me in my chair or stand right next to me. Changes to the physical environment. Changes to the physical environment as a result of lockdown measures have been widespread. Dr. Elizabeth Ferris is a full-time wheelchair user and junior doctor. She summed up the situation. Everywhere we look, pavements are being used for outside dining and parking spaces are being recommissioned to increase capacity of stores and restaurants. All these changes have occurred for obvious reasons, but they've happened without thought for the needs of disabled people. The loss of such precious resources has a huge impact on how wheelchair users interact with their local towns and cities, making it harder and in some cases totally impossible. It is a view that is borne out by the survey results, with 68% being concerned about venue and public toilets being shut, the increase in queuing or waiting times, 55%, and the removal of accessible seating and chairs used for rest stops, 52%. One respondent explained why it's a barrier. There are not enough seating areas now. It just makes everything so harder. I worry about feeling bad, then having nowhere to sit and catch your breath or take some medication. This extends to attitudes towards travel and getting around. 36% felt there was a focus on cycling and walking, yet that is something not everyone can do. As the industry builds back and continues on the road to recovery, we have a valuable opportunity to improve accessibility for disabled people. Detailed and accurate information, disability-aware staff, and accessible facilities and services will all help to drive footfall and in turn revenue, one of our commentators said. Making it easier and safer for disabled visitors. we asked people to tell us what would make it easier and safer for them to visit venues, places and spaces. Loud and clear, the answer was accessible parking bays, 81%. This was an important point made in our 2020 COVID survey, 66%, and clearly remains an even bigger issue post-lockdown. Other suggestions include clear markings, encouraging people to respect distance, 61%, touch-free doors, 59%, and the provision of an accessible route that disabled people can navigate independently without having to ask for help, 67%. There are quick wins like making sure hand sanitizers are accessible. A respondent said, many venues provide hand sanitizer stations which are operated by a foot pump. No good to wheelchair users. Ross Calladine is head of business support at Visit England. He believes that while tourism and hospitality businesses were amongst the first and hardest hit by the COVID-19 pandemic, as the industry builds back, he says, and it continues on the road to recovery, we have a valuable opportunity to improve accessibility for disabled people, detailed and accurate information, disability-aware staff, and accessible facilities and services. Visit England is committed to the UK government's ambition to become the most accessible destination in Europe. The survey asked people about their transport options. What is your main mode of transport? 62% of respondents said they have a car. 5% of respondents use a car by taking lifts from friends or family. 15% of respondents use a power chair or scooter. 5% of respondents use a bus or tram. 4% of respondents use a taxi. 9% of respondents use other means of transport or responded differently. The survey asked people about holidays and trips away from home. Holidays and trips away.
18%
are more likely to stay local within 30 miles.
79% visit somewhere in the UK. 8%
are more likely to travel abroad. The survey asked participants about shielding. Considerations for those still shielding. Another popular answer, 62%, was for venues, places and spaces to consider quieter or dedicated opening times. This would be particularly helpful to those who are still shielding and or are concerned about visiting public spaces. Over half, 53%, of respondents asked for the number of people allowed in lifts to be restricted, reflective of the fact that many disabled people are still nervous about entering confined spaces with other people. The survey asked participants about getting out and about again. Getting out and about again. A telling takeout is the numbers of respondents who expressed a reluctance to participate in indoor activities post-lockdown, with 57% less likely to attend entertainment venues like theatres and cinemas. 61% less likely to attend predominantly indoor or covered attractions, and 38% less likely to use overnight accommodation. However, on a more encouraging note, 73% are more likely to attend health appointments, with 13% less likely, and 55% are more likely to go to outdoor areas such as beaches, parks and trails. A further positive is that 50% of people said they would be more likely than normal to visit restaurants, cafes and bars. One survey respondent described their experience. Because tables have to be further apart, getting into and out of cafes and bars and restaurants is easier. However, because these places now have more outdoor seating, it makes passing these places harder due to the amount of pavement they take up. In a world of uncertainty around how the environment might have changed, 54% surveyed said they would be less likely to visit new places. 33% said they would be just as likely to visit new places, with only 6% saying they would still be keen to try new places. Having reliable and up-to-date information on facilities has always been important, now more so than ever, to reverse the caution people may feel. The survey asked participants about visiting places. Finding information before a visit. When planning a trip, 81% of our survey respondents said they'd check the company's website or search the internet. 47%, including checking out reviews on Ewan's Guide, 27%, while 35% would contact the venue directly, down 15% from 2020. Hence, the importance of having up-to-date accessibility information on their websites. Is the new contactless world a better one? By and large, respondents agreed that contactless payments made life easier, 59%, with 31% saying it made no significant change. However, 10% of respondents said it had made things harder for them. One respondent commented, "Some places won't even take cash. This is a particular worry for people with learning disabilities and memory problems who cannot use technology to pay or don't have a debit card, as they need to use cash to be able to budget." A richer, fuller online world. The pandemic forced organisations of all kinds, from church groups to theatres, to find ways of either improving their digital offering or finding new ways to engage online. We asked the disabled community which of these types of opportunities they would like to see continue. A very welcome positive to come out of the pandemic was the ability to work remotely, 23%, or study remotely, 23%. Having greater flexibility here is something the disabled community has been pushing to see for a long time. Dr. Elizabeth Ferris agrees. Normal, previously, was to never really have access to work from home opportunities. And now, employers can't make those same arguments as they might have prior to the pandemic. That can only be a positive thing for disabled people. Being able to access cultural events was seen as a huge bonus too, the most popular being movie releases, 38%, stage performances, 32%, festivals and events, 18%, virtual museum tours or cultural events, 27%, and virtual social events, 34%. Many people noted that supermarket shopping became easier and greater provision of prescription delivery was welcomed too. Many of these activities encouraged a sense of community, allowing people to keep in touch or stay engaged. Broadcaster and journalist Mick Scarlett agrees and said, "The arts world has embraced the online experience and this has opened up the arts to many disabled people who could never engage before. I've been struck at how much the online world has opened up a national and global disabled community to so many of us. I've seen people from all over supporting each other and sharing knowledge and experience. I hope this will continue. One respondent commented, "It's been amazing having so many things online. I feel the world has actually opened up for me rather than shut down in lockdown. I hope places consider keeping more online." However, while there have been big pluses in the digital sphere, Jenny Miller, Chief Executive Officer of PAMIS, makes the important point that digital support and solutions are not an option for many of the families and people we support. Digital exclusion is an issue, and we need to remember that. "It's been amazing having so many things online. I feel the world has actually opened up for me rather than shut down in lockdown. I hope places consider keeping more online." Accessible toilet provision made worse by COVID. The simple reality is that due to restrictions, many public toilets shut with some remaining closed. It was common to find standard toilet facilities closed and the accessible loo repurposed as a sole toilet for everyone to use. Unsurprisingly, 68% of respondents said they were concerned about the closure of toilets, with 71% saying they believed COVID had made access to toilets worse. One respondent summed up the frustration of many when they said, "The closure of toilets is a particular concern to me, given my medical issues. If public toilets are closed, and if supermarket toilets are closed, it makes it difficult for me to go out." Jenny Miller, Chief Executive Officer of PAMIS, agrees and said, "COVID put a spotlight on issues our community face every day. The public suddenly realised what it was like to have to plan your trips out via the toilets that were or weren't open. The PAMILOO, Mobile Changing Places Toilet, was part of a solution to enable families safe access to outdoor events. Families highlighted that the activities and support were a lifeline. The vast majority of our survey respondents, 70%, said that they had come across an accessible toilet they were unable to use. Given that the majority of disabled people consider an accessible toilet as among their top three requirements when visiting somewhere new, this is a disappointingly high statistic. Other factors that inspire confidence when visiting new places include accessible parking, 81%, and accurate disabled access information, 75%. Lack of accessible toilets is a hindrance to adventure. The survey asked whether people ever avoided going somewhere new because of a lack of accessible toilet facilities. The stark reality is that 73% said yes. A further 42% said that if they could not find information about accessible toilet facilities, they would avoid going. They're often used as a storage space in individual venues, especially hospitality. I have witnessed people using them because they think they are cleaner than the normal toilets. This causes delay for those of us that rely on them. Less toilets seem to be locked on the radar scheme these days, said one of our respondents. We know from Ewan's Guide Reviews that there are hundreds of venues out there doing an excellent job. The key, it would seem, is to make sure information about facilities is made available and kept up to date. Signage showing whether the loo is right-hand transfer or left-hand transfer is especially useful, as is having a full-length mirror and having everything within reach, for example, hand towels, without having to move from the sink. Accessible toilets It's surprising what you find there. The most common problems with accessible toilets, when they are available, is that they are often dirty, 68%, or there is not enough space, 46%. Space issues can be to do with layout. Other times, the problem can be solved simply by hanging doors the other way or removing items such as bins, hoovers, high chairs and cleaning supplies that are obstructing the turning space available. Here are some of the items our respondents found in accessible toilets being used as overflow storage areas. Surfboards, Christmas tree and decorations, road closed sign, mini electric organ, a couple behaving inappropriately, a wardrobe, a desk and chair, a half-eaten roast chicken, a fruit machine, a lawnmower, bicycles, and tins of tomatoes. Red emergency cords. For the over 14 million disabled people in the United Kingdom, a red cord in an accessible toilet is their call for help in an emergency. We asked, how often do you see a red cord emergency alarm cord that is potentially dangerous in an accessible bathroom? And this could include not having an emergency cord at all, or having a cord that has been cut too short, tied up, put out of the way so it couldn't be reached by someone lying on the ground. With 11% of respondents saying they have had to use the cord to raise an alarm, it is worrying that 14% of our survey users said they see a potentially dangerous cord a few times a month, and 23% saying they see it a few times a year. The results support our Safer Toilets work, where we tackle this problem by printing red cord cards for our volunteers to attach to red emergency cords, encouraging people to untie the cords and let them hang free. Red cord cards can stop vulnerable people in the United Kingdom being stuck in a dangerous situation and give disabled people a sense of comfort that a venue takes their welfare seriously. For more information on our Safer Toilets Work campaign, you can visit our website at www.ewansguide.com/safertoilets. Have you ever had to pull the emergency cord to call for help? 11% of survey respondents have had to use the emergency cord to call for help when visiting an accessible toilet. 89% of respondents have not needed to use the emergency cord to summon assistance when using an accessible toilet. Disabled access. One of the most important questions in the access survey each year is to gauge whether or not there have been any improvements to the overall levels of access. It won't come as a surprise to learn that very few improvements to access have been made during the last 12 months, with 54% saying access has worsened. In 2019, 64% of people thought access had stayed the same. This year, that figure dropped sharply to 40%, which would suggest that people believe access is declining. More people are very unconfident about visiting new places, 23% compared to 19% in 2019. And fewer people are moderately confident to visit new places, 19% compared to 25% in 2019. The same percentage, 2%, are still very confident. improving visitor confidence. The good news for venues keen to know how to make their business, space or place more inviting to disabled customers is that the answer was resounding. Accessible parking, 81%. Accessible toilets, 80%. And accurate disabled access information, 75%. Almost all respondents, 92%, will try to find disabled access information before they go. The more specific the access information, the better, as one respondent noted. I frequently find that it is a generic statement. I was looking at an offer a hotel had on. I tried to find out how accessible it was. I don't need everywhere to be accessible, but I need to know the details so that I can make proper decisions. Ramps, toilets, etc. should be a minimum expectation. Disappointingly, 73% of respondents reported having found information on a venue's website to be misleading, confusing, or inaccurate. Alongside finding relevant access information, 75%, another top influencing factor was being welcomed by staff or feeling that the venue cares about accessibility, 67%. The default position for many visitors, 56%, seems to be that if a venue doesn't advertise their accessibility facilities, it's because they don't have any, which is obviously not always the case. It's essential that venues, spaces, places explain what they have on offer so that disabled visitors can decide for themselves how well a visit will work. Reviews from other disabled people are trusted as being useful, 55%, often because they are more up-to-date and credible as a peer review. Being able to see pictures and read what others have said beforehand is considered important, 58%. As our respondent said, I frequently find that it is a generic statement. I was looking at an offer a hotel had on. I tried to find out how accessible it was. I don't need everywhere to be accessible, but I do need to know the details so that I can make proper decisions. 73% of respondents told us that they have found information on a venue's website to be misleading, confusing, or inaccurate. . 81% of respondents say that accessible toilets will make it safer and easier for them to visit places. . 81% of respondents say that accessible parking will make it safer and easier for them to visit places. 92% of respondents look for disabled access information before visiting somewhere new. . 73% of respondents have experienced a disappointing trip or had to change plans because of poor accessibility. Setting the standard for accessibility. The survey asked participants to rate the accessibility of places they visit. Hospitals and healthcare. Hospitals and healthcare settings topped this year's survey as the most highly rated places for good or excellent accessibility. More people rated them good or excellent, 67%, up from 57% in 2019, and less people rated them poor or very poor, 10%, down from 16% in 2019. Pubs and bars. More people rated pubs and bars good or excellent, 28%, up from 23% in 2019, and less people rated them poor or very poor, 20%, down from 36% in 2019. Cafes and restaurants. More people rated cafes and restaurants good or excellent, 37%, up from 28% in 2019, and less people rated them poor or very poor, 17%, down from 36% in 2019. Cinemas and theatres. Less people rate cinemas and theatres good or excellent for accessibility. 34%, down from 54% in 2019. But people rating them poor or very poor decreased to 11%, down from 16% in 2019. Concert halls and music venues. Less people rate concert halls and music venues good or excellent, 21%, down from 46% in 2019. But people rating them poor or very poor also dropped to 12%, down from 22% in 2019. Historic attractions. Less people rate historic attractions as good or excellent, 21%, down from 29% in 2019. But less people also rate them as poor or very poor, with 21%, down from 38% in 2019. Events and festivals. Less people rate events and festivals as good or excellent, 12% down from 24% in 2019, but only 12% of respondents continue to rate them poor or very poor, 12% from 42% in 2019. Museums and galleries. Less people rate museums and galleries good or excellent, 41% down from 69% in 2019, and there is an increase in people rating them poor or very poor, 21%, up from 10% in 2019. Shops. More people rated shops good or excellent, 37%, up from 27% in 2019, and less people rated them poor or very poor, 21%, down from 28% in 2019. Hotels. Less people rated hotels dropped for good or excellent to 38% from 40% in 2019, yet less people rated them poor or very poor, 11% down from 22% in 2019. Sporting stadiums. Less people rated sporting stadiums good or excellent, 15% down from 43% in 2019, but less people also rated them poor or very poor, 8% down from 25% in 2019. Visitor attractions. Less people rate visitor attractions good or excellent, 27% down from 45% in 2019, whilst people rating them poor or very poor has increased to 21%, up from 17% in 2019. Leisure and sports centres. Less people rated leisure and sports centres good or excellent, 21% down from 45% in 2019, with poor or very poor also dropping to 10%, down from 22% in 2019. Public and council buildings. Less people rated public and council buildings good or excellent, 29%, down from 41% in 2019, and less people also rated them poor or very poor, 15%, down from 22% in 2019. Transport hubs. Less people rated transport hubs good or excellent, 25%, down from 33% in 2019, But less people also rated them poor or very poor, 19%, down from 33% in 2019. Outdoor venues. More people rated outdoor venues good or excellent, 29% up from 24% in 2019, and also less rated them poor or very poor, 21% down from 37% in 2019. The sample. The 2021 Access Survey was completed by 2,455 respondents, making it the largest disabled access survey of its kind in the United Kingdom. The survey asked for an indication, which was optional, as to whether people were shielding or considered as a vulnerable person. That's the government terminology. Are you or someone you live with on the government list of vulnerable people? 63%. Are you or someone you live with shielding? 23%. Neither? 28%. Where do you live? England? 78%. Scotland? 13%. Wales? 6%. Northern Ireland? 2%. When out and about, most of the time, you are with friends and family, 69%. With an unpaid or family carer, 26%. With a carer or PA, 10%. With a club or group, 2%. By myself, 25%. Are you a disabled person? 97%. Family member or friend of a disabled person, 10%. Unpaid or family carer, 7%. Carer or PA, 1%. Of retirement age, 13%. Teacher, social worker or healthcare professional, 2%. I'd rather not say, 1%. Do you use or have experience of a wheelchair? 55%. A power chair? 20%. A mobility scooter? 40%. A walking aid? 65%. A cymbal cane? 3%. A long cane? 5%. An assistance dog? Visual impairment, 1%. An assistance dog, other, 3%. Sign language, 3%. Hearing aid or cochlear implant, 13%. AAC, 1%. Hidden impairment, 18%. Speech impairment, 4%. PMLD, 1%. Autism, 9%, dementia, 4%, learning disability, 9%, changing places toilet, 7%. What device do you usually use when using the internet? A desktop or laptop computer, 54%, a mobile phone, 61%, a tablet, 42%. What is your main mode of transport? A car, owned or leased, 89%. A car, with lifts from friends or family, 7%. Bus or tram, 7%. Taxi, 6%. Train or underground, 4%. Bicycle, 1%. E-bike, 1%. Power chair or scooter, 21%. Walking, 4%. Ewan's Guide is the award-winning disabled access charity. Ewan's Guide is the award-winning disabled access charity. We're best known for ewansguide.com, a go-to website where disabled people, their families, friends and carers can find and share disabled access information. We often get told that one review from someone with a similar access requirement can give someone else enough confidence to visit somewhere new. We make tens of thousands of toilets safer, run the UK's largest and longest running access survey, and increase the confidence and life skills of disabled people through our volunteering program. We also provide on and offline communities where disabled people share peer advice, support and information. Ewan MacDonald, co-founder of Ewan's Guide, said, "We started the Access Survey to find out what disabled people thought about disabled access in the UK, and with the support of Motability Operations, this has enabled us to amplify the voice of disabled people. The pandemic has had a massive impact on everyone, but especially disabled people. The majority of respondents thought disabled access got worse during COVID, and we have heard and continue to hear concerns from our community about social distancing, mask wearing, and access to accessible toilets. However, there have also been things that have changed for the better, such as remote working and studying becoming the accepted norm, and online screenings, meaning that events and performances can be more accessible to many disabled people." These results emphasise that we at Ewan's Guide still have a lot of work to do. We can't do it alone though. We need your help. If you are a disabled person, friend or family member, please share your disabled access experiences so more people can find accessible places to go. Likewise, if you own, run or work with a venue, please ensure that you are promoting your welcome to disabled visitors. The Motability Scheme. About Motability Operations and the Motability Scheme. The Motability Scheme is the United Kingdom's leading car scheme for disabled people and has been providing affordable, convenient, worry-free motoring for over 40 years. The Motability Scheme enables people to get mobile by exchanging their mobility allowance to lease a new car, wheelchair, accessible vehicle, WAV, scooter or powered wheelchair. When leasing a Motability Scheme car, insurance for three named drivers, servicing and maintenance, full RAC breakdown assistance, tyre and windscreen replacement, and 60,000 mileage allowance over 3 years are all included in the cost of the lease. A range of popular car adaptations are also available at no additional cost. When leasing a scooter or powered wheelchair, insurance, breakdown assistance, servicing, maintenance, and repairs and tyre and battery replacement are all included in the cost of the lease. Pricing is standard nationwide. A wide range of green vehicles with emissions of 100 grams of CO2 per kilometre or less are available through the scheme. Motability is a registered charity in England and Wales, number 299745, and is authorised and regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority, reference number 736309. Motability provides a range of grants to individuals and organisations, including scheme customers, who would otherwise be unable to afford the mobility solution they need. Motability Operations Limited is an independent company that operates the Motability Scheme under contract to Motability, the charity. Any profits are non-distributable and are reinvested or donated for the benefit of disabled people. Motability Operations Limited is authorised and regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority under reference number 735390. Lisa Thomas, Chief Marketing Officer at Motability Operations, said, "At Motability Operations, we are passionate about providing worry-free mobility for disabled people through the Motability Scheme. We were delighted to support the UN's Guide Access Survey this year, and while there are positives in the results, some findings are a bit disappointing. We know from our customers that the benefits of being able to get out and about and enjoy freedom cannot be understated, and particularly after the last 2 years of COVID lockdowns. We hope that the results of this survey help to highlight where improvements need to be made and drive real change." UN's Guide Access Survey, supported by Motability Operations Limited. You can contact UN's Guide in a variety of ways. You can email at hello@unsguide.com. You can telephone at 0131 510 5106 or by post at 37A Castle Terrace, Edinburgh, EH39DR. The UN's Guide website can be found at www.unsguide.com. UN's Guide is a charity registered in Scotland, SC045492. For accessible formats, please visit our website at www.unsguide.com/access survey. Copyright, all rights reserved, UN's Guide 2022. Three, two, one.